Well, good afternoon, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here at CKMS Radio 1.3 Sound FM. A beautiful day here in Kitchener. It's probably about 10 degrees out there and sunny, so we're quite grateful for that. My guest today is Tyler Brooks, and I will ask Tyler to tell us all about his first song he's brought here. It's Brantley Gilbert and Country Music Must Be Country. Tell us all about that song.
It's just one of my favorite country songs. Brantley Gilbert's a really good artist. When I first started to listen to country, I was into the usual Tim McGraw, Keith Urban, Kenny Chesney, and it's kind of evolved into, I really like guys like Brantley Gilbert, and the song is just kind of the epitome of country. I'm from kind of the country area, just outside of Tillsonburg, so I know what it's like to come from that background, so it's kind of just, it resonates with my childhood, I guess.
All right, that's a good explanation, and that's just going to lead really well into our first segment coming up. We'll talk a little bit about who you are. And we'll play the song, folks, stay locked in. It's the Agriculture Show. We are at episode number 156, and today is April the 27th of 2016. We'll see you in a short bit.
Crank this on up. Move up south of the Mason-Dixon, working, spitting, hunting, and fishing. Stone cold country by the grace of God. I was gassing up the other day, an old boy pulled up with a license plate from Ohio. Thought, oh good Lord, he's lost. From his Wranglers to his boots, he reminded me of Chris LeDoux. And that Copenhagen smile, the country must be countrywide. And every state, there's a station, playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon. Foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys and hillbillies, farm towns, big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind, country must be countrywide. And it ain't where, it's how you live. We weren't raised to take, but we were raised to give the shirt off our back to anyone in need. Bow our heads before we eat, before we start our day, before we fall asleep, cause in God we trust and we believe. Yeah, we see what's wrong and we know what's right. And old Hank, he said it all, and he said country folks can't survive. In every state, there's a station, playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon. Foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys and hillbillies, farm towns, the big cities. There ain't no doubt in my mind, country must be countrywide. There's a station. Come on. Y'all better crank this up. The next day, there's a station. Playing Cash, Hank, Willie, and Waylon. And foreign cars and four-wheel drives. There's cowboys, hillbillies, farm towns, big cities. Must be countrywide.
Hi, I'm Celie Diebold, the Waterloo North Dumfries Queen of the Furrow for this year 2011-2012. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
And thanks for listening in today, folks, to the Agriculture Show. We're at episode number 156. It's April the 27th, and my guest today is Tyler Brooks. And a great song, Tyler. I like the explanation on it, and I'm looking forward to hearing you speak about our first part of the show. We get to know our guests, and you mentioned Tillsonburg. Tell us about you.
Well, I grew up just outside of Tillsonburg in a small village called Brownsville. But I played all my hockey, went to school in Tillsonburg, so Tillsonburg is my hometown. Grew up there with two older brothers, and like I said, I played hockey all through minor hockey with Tillsonburg until I moved on to junior, and I did my high school in Tillsonburg, and then I went to Toronto and pursued my post-secondary education. Mm-hmm. Lived in Toronto for about 6 years, and after that was done, I was ready to leave the city and come back to the country.
It's a good experience to get away, isn't it?
It was. It was a great experience. I definitely wouldn't trade it in. It gives you a better idea of how the other half live. It gives you a better idea of, you know, kind of the city feel, the city living. And so it was nice to experience that at the time, and now it's nice to be back here. I live in Woodstock, Ontario now with my wife, and we're back closer to our families, and it's just seems a lot better, and we like the lifestyle a little bit better.
Good to hear. You still have, is mom and dad or brothers still farming the home farm?
We didn't have a home farm, but my grandparents had a home farm, yep. And my uncles still run that farm. It was just outside of Union, Ontario, so they had a beef cattle, or they have a beef cattle farm. So we were on that farm quite a bit as kids. And growing up, I did corn detasseling, a lot of that. I didn't work in tobacco, which is the classic Tillsonburg.
That's true.
of what Stompin' Tom said. But I did work corn detasseling and a variety of other jobs. And then one of my good friends, they own a dairy farm as well. And so a lot of experience on farms.
And I just really thinking how great it was you were in Toronto, because there are people in Toronto who have never met a farmer. And, you know, part of what we do in agriculture is that we just really kind of want to get our message out to people. So you have a very unique and special place in the scheme of things from seeing both sides like that.
Yeah, it was very interesting when a couple of friends, when I became friends with them and they asked where I was from, and you kind of give your background and everything. It was quite funny, some of their reactions. The way that they tried to describe the country was, I don't think they'd ever been outside the city limits of Toronto or GTA, so let's just put it that way. A lot of it was foreign to them, so it was kind of funny getting that firsthand experience.
And do you have time for any hobbies or anything? Do you still put the blades on once in a while, or have you taken up curling? Oh my gosh.
No, I still put the blades on a couple times a week. The good friends that I grew up with, all my best friends, we all went our separate ways in terms of our hockey careers. Some of us made more of a career than others. But so now we're kind of all back to Tillsonburg. We all went and did our post-secondary, and then we've come back with our families. And so we all play on a tournament team together. We play men's league together. So it's just a lot of fun to be back playing the game for the fun of it.
Yeah, good stuff. Any chance to go see some concerts? You have a nice collection of music here. I would imagine from time to time you find yourself in a concert venue.
Yes, I do. My wife and I really enjoy concerts, and as you can see by the playlist, Keith Urban was the very first concert I ever went to with my wife.
Cool.
So that's one of the reasons why that song is on there. And that was, like I said, that's when I started to get into country music, very much more than, I had in the past. And U2, I saw them in Montreal last summer. Amazing, amazing concert. They did such a great job. And prior to that, one of the other best concerts I'd ever seen is Garth Brooks in Buffalo.
Okay. So you come by your music selection very honestly. You actually go and see some of these guys.
Yes, I do. I'm a big music fan. I love the I like the messages that are within and the motivations that are within the lyrics of music, and I think that really I can really connect to a lot of the genres that I listen to.
Yeah, good stuff. Talk about music, let's play another one. Next up here is Dream On by Aerosmith. Now, that's a great song. Did you go, excuse me, you didn't go see these guys in concert. That'd be a real coup.
No, that would be awesome. No, the connection to that one goes back to my hobbies. When I was a teenager, and Alexander Ovechkin, who's my favorite hockey player, was early in his career, there was this YouTube video of all, it's like a highlight pack of all his goals and everything and hits, and it was made to the song Dream On, and I don't know, I've loved it ever since I saw it, so that's why that's on there.
Okay, let's play it. Thanks for listening today, folks. It's just a beautiful day, and my guest today is Tyler Brooks. We'll be right back with our second segment with Tyler, talking a little bit about what he does. In the meantime, just enjoy this. It's Dream On by Aerosmith. See you in a short bit.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Deb Swadrovich with the Grand River Environmental Network. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, we're back, and thanks for listening today, folks, to the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. My guest today is Tyler Brooks, and we just played a great song by Aerosmith, Dream On, and talked a little bit about Tyler, where he's, who he is, and we know a few things about him. He's still playing a bit of hockey and lives in Woodstock.
Yes, I live in Woodstock with my lovely wife, and we're expecting our first child, actually, July 1st, so we're very excited about that. Time seems to really come fast within that 9 months, but we're busy preparing for that.
Wow, that'll be a big change. It's good to hear. Yes, our significant others and close family, friends, and all are very important people to anybody, and so I'm glad to, good to hear you're talking about family and so on.
Most certainly. It's kind of like that small town feel. It's the values and morals of a family were instilled in us very early, and we've kept those ties, both my family and my wife's family. We're all very close.
Very nice. We're into our second segment here. We want to talk a little bit about what Tyler does. And like most people, it's just a huge list, but I'll throw it out to him and tell us what you do, Tyler, please.
Well, I am the e-communications coordinator for the Ontario Federation of Agriculture out of Guelph, and my role is the online communications. That goes from email to online or to the website, to the OFA website, to social media channels like Twitter and Facebook and YouTube, and I monitor, manage, and create content for each of those channels, including the website. And so I'm online every day, and very busy with tracking kind of agriculture conversations and things that are going on within the Ontario agriculture industry.
That's a huge job.
It definitely is.
And here you are doing some radio stuff today. Maybe do some TV next week, huh?
Yeah, maybe. I'll see about venturing into that media. But the social media aspect is really, it's evolved over the last, I've been there for 4 years now. And since I got there, I've really seen a change in the way social media has impacted agriculture. And it's certainly a positive change.
And that is a job that may not have existed, say, even, 10 years ago for sure.
Absolutely. Actually, when I started at OFA, it was the very first time that they had a dedicated social media person. So okay. I kind of went in, learned the ropes a little bit. I have a background in journalism and English and communications, and that's social media was just starting to become a lot bigger when I got into it, and that's what kind of, I love online. I love anything digital.
You know, we could very easily segue into our third segment where I'll ask you, you know, what people should know about agriculture if someone walked up in the street. But we'll leave that till the other part there, and we'll try to, you know, just talk a bit more about what you do. So the Ontario Federation is one of three organizations in the province that lobby and promote agriculture to various levels. It's a big job, isn't it?
It is for sure. We track and look after an enormous amount of issues in agriculture. We're an advocacy and lobbyist group that represents all Ontario farmers. We have about 36,000 members with a lot of key issues. Because we represent such a variety of farmers, the key issues for each farmer are different, so it's very important to make sure that we have an educated grasp on each issue and make sure that the communication is being sent to government to make them aware of certain issues that are ongoing so that we can do our best to help Ontario farmers with their farm business.
And that's a big job, and it never ends. There's been, for years, there was letter writing campaigns, and there was personal visits, and now there's the new electronic media, social media, to make sure that every group has a chance to get their message out there.
Yeah, we rely a lot on social media, especially on Twitter. We have a dedicated, it's kind of our hard issues medium. And Facebook we use as kind of that community aspect. If it's has to do with agriculture and OFA and what we're out there doing in the community or what our members are doing in the community, we promote that and highlight that on Facebook. And then on Twitter, that's one of the ways that we really try to get the attention of government as well as other stakeholders and pass out those key messages.
Well, you know, we could talk about it a bit more because it just occurred to me. We were going to talk a little, make sure you want to talk about the 6x16 program. So we won't let the cat out of the bag on that quite yet, but that's a really cool thing y'all working on over there.
Most definitely. That's it's a great initiative. I won't go into too much detail, as you said, but yeah. I will.
We're very much on the fly here. Also, something comes to mind. Oh, God, we should talk about that.
Absolutely. I can provide a good background of where that came from, how it came about, and where it's moving right now.
So just to kind of go with that a bit, a program like 6x16 would have come out, you know, over the history of agriculture every 10 years or 5 years. But now there's a whole new way to promote it with the social media. So someone must prepare the parent document, and then someone says, okay, I'll write that up for the newspaper, and I'll write that up for this other thing. But then someone's got to say, well, how are we going to do this on the media stuff? So that's where your bailiwick is, I guess.
Yeah, that's where I come in. We had some discussions, and like you said, now it's so much easier to launch and raise awareness of a initiative like this because you're reaching people faster through social media. So a lot of it right now has been just digital, reaching our target audience, which is anywhere between 11 and 15 or 11 and 16, but also parents as well. That's a big target audience for us. So we've been able to get the word of mouth out through social media, and that's been a very important tool in this initiative.
One thing I think cool about social media that we don't have here in radio, or not as well, is being able to track our results. So there's still no technically way to actually record an FM signal, whether it's being picked up. And that's why, you know, over the years, they'd hire people to fill out a survey. But we have some modest means here to do the same thing. But, you know, you got a good web page. There's all kinds of metrics you can apply to that.
Yeah, and that's one of my roles as e-communications coordinator is doing the analytics and measuring our reach. I do analytics for our web page, and I also do analytics for our social media, each individual channel, to find out which messages are resonating best with our audience, which is both members, government, and just the agriculture industry as a whole. So that's been really unique because all of these companies are coming in with something different, trying to offer different styles of measurements, and it's been been pretty unique trying to decipher which ones offer the best.
Which is the Nebraska tractor tests for the industry.
Yeah, most definitely. And then when I first started, one of the tougher parts was how do you put those analytics and measurements into a report that's easy enough for everyone to understand, and it's not just a whole bunch of statistics. So that's also been a learning curve as well, but I think we got a good grasp on it now.
I should just quickly tell our listeners who might not know what Nebraska tractor tests are. So, you know, over time, various manufacturers, theirs is the best. We get the tests to prove it. But it was confusing because they use different criteria. So the University of Nebraska decided we'd have a standardized test and we'll invite manufacturers to send their tractors in and we'll get the real deal for you farmers. So the same thing is with metrics in your business. Is there an association of people in your capacity who are doing media for all different companies? That's maybe too soon yet for that to happen, I suspect. Eh?
I can
see it happening at some time.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I can't think of an association off the top of my head. I've been to a variety of different conferences and workshops, seminars.
So you got the networking going.
Yeah, that have that include all of the people who do a very similar role to mine.
Yeah.
And it's really insightful to get ideas on what they've been doing, what works for them, what hasn't worked. So it's been a great sharing and professional development opportunity for me in going to those.
People, jobs are hard to get. But it's also, I believe, still true that there are, the universities tell us and colleges that there's two jobs for every graduate. And here's a job in agriculture, although we got a lot of people do it, but this is an agriculture-oriented job that maybe a young person or a parent of a young person who's looking for a career, this is something that may have never come to mind when talk about agriculture.
Definitely. I will say that it never once crossed my mind that social media would have this much. What was social media anyways, like 15 years ago? Yep. It wasn't even 10 years ago, like you had mentioned. It wasn't nearly as big as it is now. And to think that job opportunities are opening, you even wonder what's going to be available 5 years from now when it comes to media.
Yeah.
It's been a great opportunity for myself, but I definitely would have never predicted that this would have been available in the ag sector or just in general.
Yeah. Your head still sits still. Everything is changing so quickly, so it's a good deal.
It is, and you see the change every day, especially when you're on that tool every day. You can see a lot of great conversations, a lot of great dialogue, and I think one of the best parts is as we enter the planting season, a lot of sharing of information between farmers, and I think that's one of the biggest assets of that tool is being able to talk to about the same problem with somebody across the province, across the country, or across the ocean, and get some advice on that.
I just saw something this week. My supplier for my own farm inputs showed a picture of the first guy planting in their area.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I guess all the farmers' blood going.
Oh yeah. I think they're very much ready to get on the field.
All right, let's carry on with another song here, and we'll. I'm just looking here. Here it is. It's Keith Urban and Where the Black Top Ends. Tell us about that song, please, Tyler.
Well, Keith Urban, as I said, the very first concert that I went to with my wife was Keith Urban. So Keith Urban is very much one of my favorites, and Where the Black Top Ends. I link to that song because of all the years that I spent in Toronto, and this is kind of about leaving the city and getting back to the country and getting back to the roots and just, you know, kicking back and relaxing on a nice weekend with your friends.
All right. With that great introduction, let's play it. Just stay locked in, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM. See you in a short bit.
Where the black
This is Tyler Brooks with the Ontario Federation of Agriculture in Guelph, Ontario. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
You know, I almost think you do that for a living, Tyler. That was really good.
Thank you.
And that's what we hope to do today, folks, bring you the message of agriculture. And today's guest, Tyler Brooks, is one of the new jobs in agriculture, doing media stuff for the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, as you mentioned. And this is our third segment. We've talked already about who he is and what he does. And now I'm going to ask Tyler, we'll talk a little bit more about what message he would bring to agriculture. And so we have lots to do there. Let's start off with the 6x16 program. That makes sense, and then maybe we can see what else comes out of that one.
Yeah, certainly. The 6x16 is a relatively new initiative. It came out of our general manager at the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, Neil Curry. He had heard it on the radio from Jamie Oliver, had done a discussion about 5x16, and Neil heard it and thought it would just be a great idea, a great tie-in to the National Food Strategy with the Canadian Federation of Agriculture.
Okay.
And he liked the ring of 6x16. So that's kind of where that originated. The ties to the National Food Strategy were very important. We launched the initiative during Agriculture Week, the first week in October, with a landing page kind of explaining food literacy and its importance in healthy living for Ontario youth, healthy eating, and trying to get food back into the kitchen, or trying to get kids back into the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a hard launch of the full expanded website in March, and that was with the help of 20 commodity organizations. We were able to get them on as partners and provide some of their resources highlighted on the 6x16 website.
And the website is?
6x16.me.
All right. So we'll put that on our podcast when we put this on the website, and you can click on that link and check out what Tyler's working on. It's a way to get our young people knowing a lot more about food, which helps agriculture, which helps people. It's a double win on this one, isn't it?
It is very much a double win. One of the things that we're really trying to highlight is the access that people have to local food.
Mm.
It's Ontario-grown food, it's fresh, it's nutritious, and we're trying to highlight that, as well as getting our children at an early age to make good food choices as a way of preparing them for a lifetime of health. We also, with this program, we want to get food literacy back into the curriculum. That's the advocacy side of 6x16.
Yes.
And that's one of our goals with that. So we would like to provide the tools to help young people learn how to plan and prepare 6 nutritious meals by the time they are 16 years old. And that's where 6x16 comes from.
Yeah, I was wondering, could you start up a 6x60 program? I could sure use the help.
I think you could start. Absolutely. I was going to say for myself, I've learned a lot from this program, because I could definitely use some of the resources that are available at 28 years old too.
Well, there you go. This is a program for everybody, and it's consistent with our various levels of governments concerning the safety or the health of people, which includes healthy eating. And it's good for the agriculture, because boy, there's nothing that we like better than an educated consumer. That is the best thing that we're looking at nowadays, and that's why we do media stuff. That's why we do this.
Absolutely. And you had alluded to the benefits of agriculture in your previous question, and food literacy not only benefits our families, but it supports the agriculture communities, and it grows our economy by taking advantage of the local food, going to farmers markets, mm-hmm. Purchasing the healthy, fresh food that's available there, and even from grocery stores too. Anything with a Foodland Ontario logo is fresh and local, and we're just really trying to push that message out through this initiative.
That's you make a good point, Tyler. People do want to talk to farmers, and there's certainly the classics like the Royal Winter Fair or the CNE where you can do that. Local fall fairs around the country may not be as accessible, but if from time to time, most people have been to a farmer's market, and you can talk to that farmer there. That's what they do. They want to fill that niche where people want to know about food, and that's what they do.
Yeah, they love engaging with consumers at farmers markets. We have one right in Woodstock that my wife and I go to on Saturdays, especially during fruit and vegetable seasons.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and they love to talk to you, and it's refreshing to know that what you're getting is fresh, it's local, and the personal aspect of being able to relate to the growers and producers of that food, I think, is also what makes buying local so good.
And we'll forget the other part of agriculture. We have milk boards, we have pork boards. Well, you know what? I think all of them have a specialist who helps with, the milk calendar has been around forever, but they would have a nutritionist on staff, and they could answer questions about healthy eating. Don't be afraid that our listeners to contact the larger groups if you want to know about food too. That's a reasonable thing.
Definitely. Yeah. They all have the resources available to help provide information on, like you said, with pork, with beef, with dairy, with vegetable, fruit and vegetable. They all have resources there that would be able to educate consumers on where their food comes from, what to look for. And those resources are absolutely great. And we've been working together with some of them on the 6x16, and being able to access their resources and link to it have been a major benefit to this initiative.
See, we just solved the major problems. It's good for us.
Eh? Yeah, that seemed a little bit too easy to solve the problem. But it's definitely educating consumers has always been a challenge. And I think the more we work collectively as a sector, the easier that challenge gets.
Do you see yourself going out to speak to these issues on a time? Like, I don't know where the program's at, but presumably at some point people go out and start presenting this, and then I'm thinking ahead they'll have all kinds of questions. I wonder what the public will ask of presenters of the 6x16 program.
That's a good question. We've got a lot of feedback from the Home Economics Association. They're one of our partners.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, public health, on the nutrition side of public health, they're one of our partners. And we had been contacted by some nutritionists as well as some school teachers. Mm-hmm. So it's encouraging to know that it's resonating with them. Moving forward, we're trying to develop ways in which we can get it into the schools. It's still in the preliminary stages, I would say, so we haven't done any formal presentations, but in a couple of the, I would say, maybe fairs and shows next year. We had a couple of them this year through the winter, but 6x16 is really starting to gain some promotion and some awareness, and at the fairs and trade show level, and we're hoping that we can bring that forward come September when some of the fall shows start.
Yeah, you got to plan ahead, don't you? Boy, it's before you know it, we are in that time of year.
Yeah. So we're in a lot of those planning stages right now.
This could take a year or two, I would think. How long do you think this will be? I guess it's never over, but this part will be at least a year. It's unfolding, I would
say. Yeah, I would say it definitely a year. And then we have a few other developments on the go. If we can get those launched, they're just a few different ideas of, like I said, how to get it in schools, how to get it in front of the people that make the decisions, whether that be government or people in the education system. So those are all conversations that we're having as a group collectively.
Just for curiosity, what's the most outrageous question someone's ever asked you? Do brown cows make brown milk?
I had actually heard not too long ago, I think one of my colleagues at OFA had said they went to a presentation and somebody had asked whether a dairy cow could give milk without being pregnant. Mm. And so that was one of the most interesting questions I've ever heard.
So there's some nuances to this discussion. And for us in the industry, those are funny questions. But, boy, I'd be the first to admit that presumably this is an honest question. They just don't know, and they just want a straight answer.
And
that's part of the thing that we've got to do in agriculture is that.
And I would agree that there's a lot of questions that come out that, although they may sound a little strange from our perspective, there are a lot of consumers that are just very much uninformed.
Yep.
Whether that's their fault or not, that's to be determined. But I think the best thing that we can do is just answer them honestly and be as helpful as we can in educating them on the agriculture sector and the agri-food industry.
Geez, I can take that for a quote. That's why we're doing this show here. Good stuff, Tyler. That's great.
Thank you very much. I'm glad I could provide that content for you.
So we talked about the 6x16, and any other messages you would bring to our listeners about agriculture? We'll have our fourth segment yet, and we can talk about that if something comes to mind in the interim. But what else would you tell people about agriculture? Go to the farmer's market. Are you a gardener? Do you tell people to try growing stuff?
I'm not a gardener. We tried our luck the very first year just in maintaining our garden, but I'm no gardener by any means. So I wouldn't even try to provide anybody with advice on that. But I think one of the things that really comes out to me, stands out to me with agriculture, is the technology and innovation. Mm. Farmers are so much more technologically sound than people give them credit for. They use technology and machinery that is far more advanced than the average person. And I think with what they have available and with what they're doing to always be looking for advancements in growing food and producing food the healthiest and safest way possible,
right.
I think technology and innovation is the biggest thing that I would try to tell people about what agriculture is.
It made me think of something. I want to get my neighbor Darcy in because he's been retired for some time, but it still blows him away the productivity per person. And back in his day, a 30 horsepower John Deere with a couple of furrows, and now it's in his lifetime he's just seen a whack of change in capacity to produce things.
Yeah, we've done a few tours. I've been on a few tours with the board of directors, whether it be in certain parts of Ontario.
Mm.
And we've been able to see presentations about precision ag and the capability that they have with that technology is very impressive. And like you alluded to, the productivity, being able to tell what treatments and what practices work best,
mm-hmm.
and being able to get an automatic visual on that,
yeah.
or automatic result on that is impressive. And I think that's where it shows how advanced the technology is for farmers right now.
Yeah. So folks, don't be afraid to investigate what's on agriculture. Look at all the sources. We got industry sites, we've got farmers market sites or local and organic food type sites. We're so lucky in Ontario, we have all these options. It's but for you as a consumer to make a choice and enjoy what you chose and not slam the other guys, I guess.
That's right. Be respectful of everyone and just be thankful that the food that we have accessible to us in Ontario is fresh, nutritional and healthy.
I think that's a good words there. Tyler, you know what? Let's play another song here, man. You got six great songs. We'll just keep on playing and just make this show go.
That sounds great to me.
This is, I think the band is Boondocks, and it's a song called Little Big Town.
Oh,
it's
the other way around. Yeah, that's my bad on.
That's why they pay you the big bucks. You go ahead and tell them what
that's
song.
That's my bad.
My Little Big Town.
Okay. That kind of goes back to where I'm from. I literally consider myself from the Boondocks in the small village, and just growing up, it's just one of the country songs that I've grew up with and really enjoyed. So,
all right, let's play it. And I hope you're enjoying your afternoon, folks. It's the Agriculture Show here in CKMS. We're at 283 Duke Street West in Kitchener. And I hope you're having a great day. We'll be back real soon with some more with Tyler Brooks. See you in a short bit.
Crawfish hole, five car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
You get a line,
I get a pole.
We'll go fishing
in the crawfish
down
hole.
In
five
the
car poker on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning.
This is Brendan Wiley-Toll from My Sustainable Canada. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the primary producers in the region of Waterloo.
Okay, we're back, and it's episode number 156 of the Agriculture Show. Today's guest is from the Ontario Federation of Agriculture, Tyler. Yeah, Tyler Brooks. Tyler has been working for the OFA for a few years in a brand new job that didn't exist 10 years ago. And he's lived in Woodstock. What's new in Woodstock these days? Are you guys all happy with how things are going in the world?
Yeah, things have been pretty good in Woodstock. I've only been there for a few years now, I think about three and a bit.
Yeah.
But it's been a nice move, like I said, from the big city of Toronto. So it's a nice mix of rural, but also there's a lot of amenities there. The farmer's market's great. We're nice and close to our families. But as a whole, the city's pretty good to live in.
Pretty easy drive to Guelph. You're going the right way or wrong way on the 401?
You know what? Sometimes I don't know if there is a right way on the 401, but it's not a bad drive. My wife goes west and I go east, yeah. So Woodstock's nice and central for us. With all the construction on the 401 down by Waterloo off Highway 8, there by Highway 8 and yes. 24 there, I'm not really sure there is a fast way.
That's true. You got to go through that to get to the Guelph exit, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad drive at all, to get to Guelph.
Yeah. You're busy with all kinds of media stuff over there. How many different websites or media things do you look after for the Federation? You got Facebook and Twitter you mentioned. Are there other you're working on there?
Yeah, so I look after all the email correspondence with our federation, and we have 52 county federations across the province. And in order to reach those members individually in each county, all of those requests go through me, and that's distributed to the members of, say, if Huron has a request, or Perth, or Wellington, or Waterloo. That stuff goes through me. So I manage all of that. I manage our website, www.ofa.on.ca. And I manage about 4 Twitter handles and 2 Facebook pages that are all linked with the Federation.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I will give a shout out, I guess, to TweetDeck. I'll give them some free promotion. I have that. I use that that tool on a daily basis. It's a great tool to be able to manage my social media, especially Twitter.
Is that the one that fires out the same message to all of them?
It can, yeah. Okay. It can fire out one message to one and another message to other to another channel. But you can view all 4 of your accounts at once, and you can get notifications of all 4 of them at once. And it's just an easy way because, I mean, to log in, log out, log in, log out, I mean, that's just a complete waste of time.
That is too much.
So TweetDeck has saved me on more than a couple of occasions.
I wonder what kind of media we'll be talking about in another year or two, how it works, whether there'll be some breakthrough in cloud computing and we'll have a Fitbit that talks to us or something.
I know.
It must be crazy when you get together with your peer group. Are there media persons like yourself and just gossip about what...
Yeah, we to try to figure out trends in this industry in the digital landscape is difficult, but I can't say for sure which ones will have more prominence than others, but I think Twitter is one that it's so useful that I don't see it being one that dies. Mm-hmm. I think it will always have a use no matter what, whether other tools and channels come about and become a little more trendier. I think Twitter is one that's here to stay because I think the impact and importance that it can have in carrying on conversations is going to make it what lasts.
So I got to confess, I'm not on Twitter, but I do, I should be, but I do respect what I like about it, the 128 character limit. Let's get to the point.
Yeah, it's it's perfect.
Now they've expanded that, haven't they? Are they talking about?
They had talked about it because it's at 140 now, and they had talked about making it 10,000, which I mean that's a blog if you ask me.
Right.
So that'll be interesting. That was a discussion, but nothing has been formally set yet. But I think that's what I mean. First thing I do in the morning. I check my emails, and then I check Twitter, and I read whether it be our notifications, but I get those on a timely basis, so I get them right away. So usually what I do is I check my email and then I check my Twitter feed and I just read. And then the best thing about it is you can get news in 10 seconds.
Okay.
And you can get up to date on what's going on in 2 minutes.
Yeah. It just occurred to me when I was sitting thinking about it. It's really, you must be just grateful you're playing hockey yet, because just like, what would you be like if you're sitting at that desk all day? You'd have like, you know, text neck. And that text neck they talk about when you just droop over top of your table.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. There are times that at the end of the day, I have my own Twitter handle as well.
Right.
But there are a lot of times when I leave work and the last thing I want to do is like look at another screen.
True.
Just because you're doing it on all a daily day. Basis. I mean, you have to in my job, you have to be accessible via social media. If people are sending messages or have questions or whatnot, you have to always have that on. But it's sometimes on a quiet day, it's nice to not have to worry about it until you go back in the morning.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't bring a device with you. You probably one in your pocket. But
yeah, I they're actually just right in my bag over here. I didn't want one to go off while we were talking.
Well, it's you know, you got to get away from it. But you know, we do have people that we can Twitter that we're on the air. We're on at odd hours here today. This show will be rebroadcast in the regular time slot, but I guess I'm trying to say in a roundabout way that it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Guests will come in, they'll Twitter while they're on the air and do stuff, and that's just cool for us too. I don't know what's wrong with that. So
yeah, and I just think that's one of the benefits of Twitter. You can get the word of mouth is just awesome. The capabilities are awesome, and being able to reach so many different people with one short message is very cool, and I really like what Twitter is able to do with that.
You should have a fun thing going. You should have, you know, Tyler's concert tour webpage. all the songs I've been to, all the places I've been to.
Yeah. Well, I did tweet the last time when I was at the YouTube concert. I did tweet a picture and a little message about the fact that I was there. So I do use Twitter for little things like that. But yeah, the concert page would be pretty funny.
It's just amazing how nowadays one can do all whatever your fancy or interest. There's a way to get your message out there.
Yeah, and like I said, I was always really interested in the digital landscape, but never did I think that I would have the opportunity to have a career that allows me to, mm-hmm, what I consider sometimes is playing all day.
Yeah.
Like I get to play with words, I get to play with messages and photos and video and getting a important message out there as well. I think that's what makes my role at OFA so much fun.
Well, they're lucky to have you do that, because it's a huge balancing to get the, well, to me, it's, I'm sure to most people, it's just a lot of stuff to handle, to process, to channel, to set it around into its various destinations. So good thing you like it.
Yeah, I really,
helps a lot.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I really enjoy it. And like you said, I mean, things happen very quickly on social media, and that can be both to a benefit of you and in the negative side. So reacting quickly is very important.
We can, is there anything else we should, this is kind of like we're getting to the wrap up of our show here. We talked about, but I've been thinking, well, let's play another song first. That's what I'm getting at here. We probably got not time for another tube. So I got Nickelback sitting here and One Republic and U2. If you, anything you'd like.
Let's go with U2.
Let's do that one.
Yeah. Since that was the last concert I was at.
Yeah. That's a good rationale. So U2, popular band, been around for a long time. Where was the concert at?
The concert was in Montreal at the Bell Center. Yeah. Again, I talk about my wife, because when we had first met, I think it was really early in our relationship. I had mentioned to her that I always wanted to see U2. I don't know. They were just one of the bands that I really enjoy their music, and I always wanted to see them. And we were going to Montreal for the Women's World Cup this past summer, and she surprised me with these awesome tickets, and it was one of the best surprise I've ever had, and so it was one of the best concerts I've ever been to as well.
Well, that worked out really well.
Absolutely, I was quite lucky.
Okay, let's play it. Just stay locked in, folks. The Agriculture Show here, and my guest is Tyler Brooks, and we're going to come back with some more in the last of our show. And right now, listen to you two, The Miracle of Joy.
Yeah, I wanted to be the melody above the noise, above the hurt. I was young, not dumb, just wishing to be blinded by you, brand new. And we were pilgrims on our way. I woke up at the moment when the
This is Catherine Fife. I'm the MPP for Kitchener-Waterloo. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM with DJ Jeff Steger. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents primary farmers in the region of Waterloo. Their goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
And we're back, and my guest today is Tyler Brooks, and we've talked all of our main topics of who he is and what he does, and a little bit about his work with 6x16 program. While we were playing that great song there by U2, it occurred to us we should probably talk about the, as you mentioned, the 80th anniversary of the Ontario Federation of Agriculture.
Yes, 2016 is OFA's 80th anniversary, and we have a few activities that are going on throughout the year that members can engage in and participate in. And a lot of the promotion is at farm and trade shows. You can see OFA displays. We have OFA field staff out there getting the word out about that, and then also online through our social media channels. And some of the cool activities that we have, students of OFA families can apply for OFA's 80th anniversary bursary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bursary that will be awarded to three students across three regions. So one student for North, one student for Southwest, one student for the East. And the other one we have is a 80 for 80 trivia contest. We have a beautification farm gate challenge. Oh, and members can win an OFA-sponsored trip to the 2017 World Ag Expo.
Hmm. Great opportunity for trying out stuff, winning some prizes, and just generally getting some excitement and recognition for 80 years of an Ontario organization, and in this case, Ontario Federation, representing the interests of farmers. And good work.
Absolutely,
are doing a lot this year. How much are you involved in that? You got to do all. You have to do all the media stuff for that, then.
Yeah,
do you have to generate the program too, or do you
I do. I generate with the help of the. We have a committee.
Yeah, right on.
But we generate the trivia contest questions that are from OFA's 80 years of history.
We should have had those trivia questions.
Oh well, I can provide you with this week's trivia question.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, and. For anybody listening, for OFA members that are listening, they can go to www.ofa.on.ca/80for80contest,
mm-hmm.
and they can answer this week's question, and that is, who was OFA's first female president?
Oh. I'm going to say Bridget Pike, but I mean, there must be one before that.
I don't know. I guess you'll have to find out whether you're right or wrong.
I see.
I can't give away answers.
And so if I put that in there and I win, I get a little lapel pin? What do I do?
If you put that in there and submit at the end of April, because we do monthly draws, so there will be 11 draws in total, and members, just by submitting one answer, will have a chance to win a $200 gift card to either Mark's or TSE stores. So we've already had some winners, and they've been recognized on the 80 for 80 trivia contest page. But one entry provides you one entry into the draw.
Yeah.
So it's just a great way that we can engage members, get them to relive some OFA history, and really just a fun way to recognize OFA's history.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm glad we took time to talk about that. There's, you know, clearly there's so much we could cover, and we've just been having a great time doing that so far, getting these main things done. So this has been just wonderful.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
So let's play another song, and then we'll get into our final sign off, and we'll go back to our business here. We have one more song we can play, and there's two left here. One's the one Republic, and the other is Nickelback.
I'll leave it to you, whichever one you want to choose. It's all good with me. Actually, you know what? Let's go with One Republic.
I was going to say that because I've heard Nickelback. Who hasn't heard Nickelback? I'm intrigued by a new song.
Yeah, let's go with One Republic.
Okay, let's do that. Stay locked in. We'll be back real soon to wrap up with Tyler, and this song is One Republic. What am I doing? What's the name of this one?
I lived.
Just that. Okay. Hey, Jeff, just read this playlist. Oh, I hate when that happens.
No. That was perfect.
Okay, here we go. See you shortly.
Hope when you take that jump, you don't feel the fall. Hope when the water rises, you built a wall. Open the crowd screams out, you're screaming your name. Hope if everybody runs, you choose to stay. Hope that you fall in love and it hurts so bad. Say
I'm Rory Box from Scotland. You're listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of innovation, hard work and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
That was Rory Box, and he was an exchange student here with the junior farmers from the UK. I wish I could speak like that.
Isn't that
classic?
That's very classic. He did a very good job on
Waterloo.
That.
That's perfect. So we're in our last of our show here today, folks, and just delighted to have Tyler Brooks on board today. And I always like to ask our guests a couple of questions before they go. And that is, Tyler, what are you doing in the next 2 hours and 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? Go ahead.
Okay, all right. Well, in the next 2 hours, I will be I'll be heading back to the office to finish off this Wednesday and doing my usual work there that I've kind of explained throughout the show with the communications. In the next 2 days, same thing, just my regular work day with OFA. I don't have any specific meetings on the go, just regular business.
Yep.
And then in the next 2 months...
2 weeks, playing some hockey.
Actually, I play summer hockey.
Cool.
Yep. It's a lot less, you know, competitive in the summer than it is in the winter, but it's just fun to stay out there. Golfing, a lot of golf. I'm heading down to northern Michigan at the end of May for a trip to do some courses down there. In 2 months, I will be pretty close to expecting my first child.
Oh, that's right.
So that'll be, and we're not quite sure whether it's a boy or a girl because we never found out. So it'll be a nice surprise. And so that's what we'll be doing in the next 2 months. So that'll keep me busy. And 2 years, the baby will be a toddler. So I'm sure chasing after them.
Yeah, you have a whole new skill set in 2 years.
Exactly. So preparing for that in the meantime.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. Thanks for telling your listeners that. And I just want to finish up here by thanking you so much, Tyler, for coming over and do the show today. It was great. We had a lot of fun. I hope we passed along lots of information to people. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for having me. I was delighted to come on, and it was a lot of fun just talking agriculture with you and just giving me the opportunity to talk a little bit about OFA and what I do at OFA, but also what OFA does as an organization for Ontario farmers. So thanks again.
It has been a good hour spent. And with that, folks, we'll see you next week. This has been episode number 156, and it's the Agriculture Show, and next week, number 157. Everyone be safe, and if you eat this week, thank a farmer. And we'll talk to you later. Bye for now.